I mean, you name it, they're in here. The biggest coal financiers are in here. And if they're prepared to give this sort of platform to these companies,
well, Pascoe, we're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for being with us. Of course, we'll continue to cover this issue. Pascoe Sabi, the researcher, campaigner for the Corporate Europe Observatory. And that does it for the broadcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. We're in Paris, France.
And you're listening now to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, broadcasting live from Dearborn, Michigan. It's WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Today is Friday and it's December 4th, 2015. Where were we last week? That is the question. We were not broadcasting. We were, in fact, WHFR. We had sort of like the perfect storm on Thursday for unscheduled but necessary repairs. Our website went down, which means our stream went down, so you couldn't connect to listen to us over the internet. And we knew that would happen until next Saturday morning. But then on Friday, due to some schedule but unknown to us, electrical work on campus, we were down for 6.5 hours because, even though the power outage was only 1.5 hours, some of our equipment in the transmitter room would not start back up again. So we had to call our contract engineer off campus, specialized radio contract engineer, to come in and help us get back on. And by the time we did, was past the time for this show. It was over half the time of Highway 61, and so we didn't do either show. I think we had, if you were listening, we did get the classical music broadcast anyway. Didn't have the stream broadcast up at about 2:15, 2:30, and then our first live show was again at 6 p.m. All of that, of course, costs us money. In this season of giving, I'll just mention the WHFR, what a great end-of-year donation to make. We, being so small, probably appreciate every dollar so much more than any other organization, but all nonprofits would like an extra special donation at the end of the year to balance their budgets, because they're usually not balanced, these local nonprofit groups that we depend on so much. But if you want to know more about how to donate to WHFR, you can go to our website, whfr.fm. And if you did sign up for our newsletter, and you can do that on the website at whfr.fm, we send that out only about once a month, and there's a new December edition going out in a few days. So, and it's free, so you should be part of that. If you're a regular listener, you need to get our email newsletter regularly. There's also a print newsletter. We haven't had a printed version since, I think, Dearborn Homecoming, about 4 months ago. So, because it's expensive and it's killing trees, and not just us, but so we're going to electronic distribution. But if you're on our mailing list, then you'll be getting that printed version sometime this week, probably, because they did go out, yesterday. So, and of course, I think it's going first class. We're breaking the budget to send it first class, so you get it before the end of the year. Take a look, see what's going on, and be generous in your support of all nonprofit organizations this season and in this month of December, especially those that you participate in yourself, like WHFR. Yes, you do participate. You listen, and you maybe change your life. That's what our show is all about. Right, John? John Conroy is here with me. My name is Jay Koronek, if you haven't listened before. And John, you said Grossiel is doing something tonight. It's
yes, sir,
some
Jay.
Sort of shopping night? Or
well, we have it's called Island Glow, where we have a celebration at the Commons on Grossiel. We have a group of children's choir folks that sing various Christmas carols, and we have a band that plays. Some of the marching band comes and plays, and the township supervisor is there to welcome everyone. And also, we have a lighting of the Christmas tree. When everyone's done singing, we march down to where the Christmas tree is, and we light it.
Are you going to be one of the singers?
I will be one of the observing singers.
Oh, okay. All right. Not this time. John has been part of a choir, or is it a chorale?
A Metro Shores chorale.
There you go. What's the difference between a choir and a chorale?
I don't think there is a difference.
A chorale has horses in it?
No.
No? Okay.
No, but
no horses. Okay.
But the chorale we are performing tomorrow, not performing, we're singing Christmas carols at Rulig's Nursery Center in Brownstown Township on Telegraph.
They're selling Christmas trees too, I bet, but we can't give a plug, so I'm sorry.
But we're just doing something voluntary.
I know, yeah. And people can stand and listen for free. That's great.
From noon to three tomorrow, come and join us.
John is a volunteer for many organizations, by the way, and besides WHFR, and I do commend him because in almost every case, he's not getting paid. He's not getting paid here, I know. So no, he says, no way. They're not paying me enough. Okay. Well, we're in the Christmas spirit here in Studio A because we put a string of Christmas tree lights up around our studio window. And boy, there's nothing like seeing dazzling little multicolored lights in front of your eyes while you're trying to focus on newspaper copy here. But I did it myself, I'm proud to say, and we may have more decorations going up. Is it really for Christmas, or is it just the season? Donald Trump, don't get down on us. I did mention Christmas, didn't I? Anyway. And in terms of what Dearborn calls it, an annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony, similar to, I guess, the ceremony you're mentioning that's tonight in Gros Eel.
Right.
Yep. What time does that start tonight again?
Six o'clock.
Okay.
And we have the stores are open late, throughout the evening, and hot chocolate is offered to the by the store owners.
Sort of the city center area, you might
say. Right, Macomb Street, all one block of stores, et cetera.
Well, our Ford Community and Performing Arts Center is not directly next to a shopping area, but it's across the street from Fairlane, but that's still a walk or two. Anyway, but our Dearborn annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony and sing-along is going to be at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center this coming Monday, 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Okay, Monday, December 7th. The free event will give guests an opportunity to enjoy live music, performances by local school choirs and bands, a Christmas sing-along, and a visit with Santa. Starting at 6 p.m., guests will enjoy some holiday musical entertainment by the Dearborn Youth Symphony Quartet in the lobby, where it's warm, and then head outside for the ceremonial lighting of the city's Christmas tree at approximately 6:40 p.m. before moving back into the Michael A. Guido Theater, where it's warm, where they can sing some of the traditional songs of the season. Following that, light refreshments will be available in the lobby. I assume the singing will be done by, 7:30, 7:45, something. And everyone is welcome, even if you don't live in Dearborn. Okay. There's nothing there about open carry or concealed carry, but that's not a joke. It's the next story, folks.
Yeah, another story.
Yeah. What's happening today, though, is that the Dearborn Goodfellows are selling, and maybe Goodfellows in other areas, but the Dearborn Goodfellows are out there today, tomorrow, and Sunday, December 6th, to make sure that, and that's their usual slogan, no Dearborn child goes without a Christmas. And it's led by Dearborn's police officers and firefighters, Boy Scout troops, high school honor clubs, business owners, and volunteers. The Goodfellows will sell papers on the streets in front of the business. I got one this morning, as did John, too.
Jay, I believe this is Goodfellows weekend all around the area.
Probably is. Why not?
Yep.
So have those dollar bills ready on the seat next to you as you pull up to a stoplight, because they're usually at stoplights at intersections, and so you got to throw that money out quick, so that the next car can get in there and they can get the money from them. But it's a totally, totally good purpose.
It's one time when groups benefit from a long traffic jam at those lights. Mm-hmm.
Dearborn's Goodfellows goal for this year's, as they call it, newspaper drive, because they do give you a specially printed newspaper, which comes from the Dearborn Press and Guide, by the way. Dearborn Times Herald, okay, and I'm not sure if they do it for free or what, but it's a wonderful thing. Frank Bewick, their former, or their founder and former editor, publisher, they reprinted his editorial on page 3 of it. I'm looking at it here, about what is the Goodfellas? And actually, it was old newsboys back starting in 1929, formerly news carriers, where they had people that actually delivered a newspaper to your house every day. Imagine, what a concept, huh? What service? But since we don't do that anymore, that over the years it's expanded to people not in the newspaper business. As I just read, our police, our fire department, I think it was someone in the the reserve police or the youth corps police of Dearborn, whatever, were at the corner of Michigan and Evergreen when I was there going through this morning. But they probably take turns, of course. Certainly got your attention because they had some sort of emergency vehicle, a small pickup parked there too, that had its lights flashing. So, you know, everybody drove very slowly up to the hill. Ooh, was there an accident?
Yeah, right.
Everybody was gawking, which is great because they said, oh, they're selling Goodfellow papers, see? So otherwise you wouldn't pay attention to somebody standing there thinking they're just a mere homeless person asking for a handout, you know. How dare they? And I'm being satirical, of course. It estimated that $40,000 will help give needy kids in Dearborn a great Christmas, and they estimate helping about 900 to 1,100 children. And of course, they also use the funds for special emergencies on an individual basis. But specifically in the Christmas season, it's gift packages of clothing, books, stuffed animals, and Christmas toys to boys and girls between the ages of 2 and 11. And of course, they get commendations of just about everybody. There's ads in their paper from, of course, elected representatives and you know, everybody in the community is trying to support that effort. It's a great way to do that. I would have mentioned last week, but we weren't on the air, that Toys for Tots at the Dearborn Police Department was Monday, November 30th, and people were coming in there, leaving their toys. But Toys for Tots, I see, are being collected elsewhere, too. John, you've got another location?
Number of places, but Toys for Tots tonight with Dearborn Acoustic at the St. Paul Church. St. Paul's Church? In Dearborn?
Yes.
And that'll be happening at 7 o'clock, probably for a two-hour period. Mm-hmm. And we also have, on Gross Eagle, we have a program tomorrow called Stuff the Bus, where we have a school bus that we fill up with unwrapped toys. And
If you don't get a paper, and shame on you if you don't, a local paper, but maybe you just want to call your city hall and find out where Toys for Tots are being collected. I bet somebody at one of our city halls in the area would be able to give you that information.
And most VFW also folks will be able to tell you.
Yeah, or police and fire, because they're usually involved too.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a great thing to support too. Again, that's a relatively small wrapped toy, usually, I think, for Toys of Tots. I'm not sure if they take, you know, just fluffy bears or something. I think if they want to be wrapped for sanitary reasons.
I've seen them taking unwrapped toys too. Depends on their on the rules of each place.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Well, let's try to support any of those activities over this holiday season upcoming. Okay, the gun thing. Okay.
All right.
Well, let me read this one. It's kind of a city thing. There's a holiday open house in East Dearborn. The East Downtown Dearborn Development Authority, which we do think from their new leader, maybe you can meet their new person. Is her name Kristen? Anyway, the idea is to merge East and West Dearborn Downtown Development Authorities into one big enchilada. And I love enchiladas, so there you go. By the way, all opinions expressed in the show about enchiladas or anything else are not necessarily those of the college, Henry Ford College staff, faculty, or students. But we hope so, sometimes, anyway. Anyway, their open house is going to be from 4 to 7 p.m., and no reservation needed, no charge to attend. And where is it going to be, you say? Again, that's the organization in East Dearborn that helps coordinate the businesses and their activities. And so beverages and food are going to be provided from the neighborhood restaurants in East Dearborn. It's going to be at Oh my gosh, it was cut off in my printer. Uh-oh. It looks like 13750 Michigan Avenue, two blocks west of Schaefer. Okay, probably east of Greenfield though, because okay, so that's oh here I see it's down here at the bottom too. It's their office, 13750 Michigan Avenue, in East Dearborn, and that's between Evergreen, as I said, and Schaefer Roads. Meet the local business people there. Let's see, Green Brain Comics and probably maybe some Times Herald people. I think they still have their office in that part of town. And, find out what's going on over there. And especially if you live in that neighborhood, they're your local businesses. So it's great to meet them one-on-one.
This is the Downtown Business Association?
Yeah, this is the East Downtown Dearborn Holiday Open House. And yes, and they do meet regularly with a little bit. I think it's federal funding that helps give grants to needed purposes. And the purposes are decided upon by these groups meeting each month, deciding what to do with the money and for best advantage for the beautification of the shopping areas and the encouragement of people to shop locally, as well as some other needy projects. So always a good thing to look into, especially if you're part of East Dearborn. Again, it starts at 4 o'clock, goes to 7, next Wednesday, December 9th. All right.
No fee for that shindig?
No charge, no reservation needed. Food and beverages from local restaurants over there. Oh, boy.
Nice.
Well, there's a number of bills going through the Michigan legislature. There's always a flurry of bills. Not big ones, but a flurry of small little bills, things that are able to be passed before the Christmas recess, which might be in only 2 weeks. And, of course, if you're not a Republican, probably, or it's if it's not a Republican-sponsored bill, it won't get passed, and it probably won't be signed by the governor. But there you go. I mean, we have a roads bill that won't take effect for until 2017, and even that won't fix the roads because they'll be even in worse repair by 2017. But that was passed, as you know, about a month ago. But there's a couple other things coming up. Before we get to that, just a brief mention, and saying congratulations to Dearborn Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. He's been named the 2015-2016 president of the Michigan Municipal League Board of Trustees. So a lot of local mayors get together in southeastern Metro Detroit, all the way up to Lansing, apparently, and they decide on what to do with their communities and many other issues facing them, especially with mass transit and water supplies and things like that. When I congratulate him, I also know he's going to be extremely busy as president of that group, that there's a lot of work involved there. But he's been part of those kinds of organizations, either as president or active participant for the last 30, 40 years, even before he was mayor of Dearborn. So he's certainly very competent to take over from, was East Lansing Mayor Nathan Triplett. He had to resign as league president because he lost his reelection bid. So I guess you can't represent your city if you're not in office. Okay. Anyway. So congratulations, Mayor O'Reilly, for that. More prestige to Dearborn, of course. What about some of those little bills going through or not going through? Well, the League of Women Voters did send around to the people on their mailing list yesterday that they should encourage people in the Michigan Senate. Apparently it was only introduced in the Senate right now, but of course if it passes the Senate, it'll go on to the House in some version, and then if it passes the House without much change, then it'll go to the governor to be signed into a law. That's how a bill becomes a law. Okay, but the bill is Senate Bill 561. It's a bill, as described by the League of Women Voters of Michigan, that destroys the purpose of gun-free zones. So SB 561 would prohibit open carry in gun-free zones such as churches, schools, and hospitals. That means you can't wear a big-time sidearm that people can see. And I guess you can't carry, I assume, a rifle either. That's open carry. That's very open carry, right? However, and people might say, well, I'm in agreement with that. There shouldn't be open carry in schools, churches, and hospitals. Okay? Well, of course, a few people would say that responsible people in those facilities still need to have guns to stop the few crazies that might come in. And we don't want to mention the crazies specifically because there's too many of them these days, and another terrible event everybody knows about by now, I'm sure, in California. But nonetheless, the concept is great, gun-free zones. I remember Tombstone, when they had some famous sheriff there, Wyatt Earp.
Oh,
okay. That under his time in office, and I think even before and after, it was a gun-free city. And they collected the guns from the people as they came in because there was only one road in and one road out, you know, so it was easy to have a little couple people posted there from the sheriff's office, deputized and so on, to collect the guns. And when they left, they would get the guns back.
You checked your guns at the door.
That's right, yeah, even if there wasn't a door, the gate or whatever, yeah. And so, I mean, gun-free zones are something that's worked and has been accepted here in America, especially in the Old West, of course. Maybe we need something like that, the gates or the doors or something. And imagine the parties people could have if they weren't worried about being shot.
That's right.
You know, or the education in a school if they didn't have to worry about dodging bullets for lunchtime or something.
Even better.
Yeah. So I'm being very facetious, and I don't intend to glorify or make fun of any tragedy, because tragedies are tragedies, and they're sad, and they're unfortunate, and they shouldn't happen. But nonetheless, this law... Okay, says open carry, not in schools, churches, hospitals. But this law, if passed, would allow people with concealed pistol licenses to carry a concealed firearm in those facilities. And that would be a new ripple.
Yep.
Because concealed carry wasn't allowed, although open carry was allowed. So they're going to flip-flop it. So now I do understand that concealed carry, if it really is concealed, not just sort of inside your coat, but your coat isn't zipped up or something, or buttoned, and people can see, or you raise your arms to grab something, they can see you've got a shoulder holster or something, you know, that people might freak out a little bit, to use a generic term, if they see the gun. If concealed carry is approved, there's still going to be that fear and panic if they see the gun. And I just happen to know enough that concealed carry is not totally concealed. I mean, yeah, okay, you could zip it into a pocket in a bag or what are those belt pouches?
Fanny packs.
Yes, that's it. That's the fun term for them. That if they're big enough, they could fit a pistol, and they wouldn't easily be seen unless you're opening the fanny pack to get your phone out of it and the gun falls out. Duh. But. So they oppose it. Anyway, League of Women Voters want you to call your senator and oppose it. I do believe that our local Democratic representatives, that is people from the Democratic Party, like our Senator Morris Hood from this area and certainly George Duraney, the Democrats are not in favor of this. I could almost guarantee you that, although I haven't checked this morning. I did try to call his office, but I got a recorded message in Lansing. And they didn't say, we're not available to take your call at present. They said, we can't take your call right now because we're helping others. Ooh, talk about a positive spin.
Right,
huh?
Right. Yep.
That's really cute. And, of course, they may just be out to lunch for the whole day. I don't know, because they usually don't do any business, even though there's no they're not adjourned for winter yet, for Christmas break or whatever break you want to call it, holiday break. They just don't work on Fridays. They just don't meet on Fridays, and it's a 4-day work week. So
they
really
could,
nice.
They could be out on the streets doing the Goodfellas work.
Well, they could them, be. Know. They could.
It's a possibility.
I would hope they might want to help, but they and one idea was that they wanted to drive back from Lansing to their home communities to be there for the weekends, and the Friday, a 3-day weekend would give them more time for that, but. I don't know. I would think as long as they're still in session, there's a lot of these bills that are being like pushed through at the last minute here. I don't know if they want to leave town because they might actually want to work on Fridays or Saturdays talking to people, you know, about what's going to happen first thing Monday. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was a responsible legislator, I would do that, unless, of course, all my fellow legislators went home anyway. So then there's nobody to talk to. Lewin Voters says this bill doesn't protect citizens, it does not raise the bar of competence, and it does not make Michigan safer. So there. Huh. Mm. What else? Well, on a positive spin, I guess, a few crazy laws. That's not the way the Metro Times talked about it, and that's not using the obscenities that the this week's Metro Times has talked about it. But a lot of these bills, in fact, even the Metro Times. That's what I got in front of me. Okay, I've got the story in front of me, and more than 80 bills that are out of date, like a ban on swearing in front of women and children. I mean, that would be something that you could get a ticket or a fine or thrown in jail for if caught by the police. The Senate gave passage to this bill, these 80, to get these bills repealed on Wednesday evening. So the odds are, I would think maybe our Governor Snyder will sign these, will repeal all of these bills, will sign this package into law real soon. Apparently they haven't as yet, he hasn't signed it as yet. Maybe he's out of town today, too. Other crazy bills include hoping to repeal a misdemeanor offense for making fun of someone who doesn't accept a challenge to a duel.
Mm. How many duels are we having these days, Jay?
And that's not legal to have a duel, yeah. I believe. Yeah, but I mean, at least with guns. I don't know. Can you have a duel with fencing or something? Well, but I don't think so. If it's a duel to the death, I think that's against the law. But anyway, but a misdemeanor for making fun of someone who doesn't accept a challenge to a duel. I think there ought to be more people making fun of other people trying to kill other people. That's my personal opinion. There we go. Opinions again. You could get a 90-day sentence for trespassing on a cranberry, huckleberry, or blackberry marsh, as well as get a lot of, shoes very muddy, I bet.
Very red.
Yeah. Stained with cranberries, huckleberries, or blackberries. Yeah. That's going to be repealed if this passes. And a 3-month sentence for singing. Here's your singing connection, John.
Okay.
Singing the Star Spangled Banner in a non-traditional or disrespectful manner. 3 months in jail.
For doing that? Wow.
Now, you think that was passed into law when Jose Feliciano sang the national anthem at, I believe it was a Detroit Tiger baseball game.
Yeah, I believe that triggered it. That was the final straw.
Because he sang a sort of jazzy version, and he had that Mexican accent. I'm sorry, was it Mexican or Spanish or whatever? But no disservice to him. I thought it was a great interpretation.
Calypso.
I thought it had a lot of feeling and spirit. But a lot of people didn't. Oh, my goodness.
Went against the grain at that time, Jay.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, because we have alternative music on the station. We're going to do some very special Christmas shows. We call them Winter Season Celebration Shows, of course, to be politically correct. On Christmas Eve Day, we're going to start them, and they'll broadcast all the way through. Even during the night, we're bumping classical music on the 24th, 25th, and it's going to continue until Saturday morning, the 26th at 10 a.m., and we're going to be playing special pre-recorded shows by our own local staff of non-traditional seasonal music. So I don't think we'll be playing a version of the Star Spangled Banner, but I'm just saying that people don't like non-traditional. I guess they just don't listen to WHFR, because we try to do things not in a disrespectful way, certainly, but ways that are fresh and new and different and have a lot of spirit and meaning, and gee whiz, I remember there was a lot of kickback after Jose Feliciano sang the Star Spangled Banner in his unique way, but I thought it was wonderful. I thought it really made people turn up their ears and listen.
That's
for the
for
first
sure.
time.
It was heartfelt.
Because a lot of people just sort of tune out when they hear the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, get done with it, get on with the game, And,
well, after all, we're the station making waves.
We are.
We're allowed to do that.
That's right. Thank you for the...
as well as 30 years we've been doing this, and we're just getting started.
There you go. That's what we say always, because it's true. And our 30th birthday and the beginning of our 31st year is coming up on the 20th. That's right, December 20th. Mm-hmm. 30 years will have been completed. This is our 30th year of broadcasting now, the way they talk about it. From until you're 1 year old, you're in your first year nonetheless. You got that? So that's why we're in our 30th year. But our 30th birthday is on December 20th. And nobody ever thought that non-commercial educational station, without any secure kind of funding, could last this long. And, to be honest, to be this good, all humility aside, to have this many different shows, over 110 hours of unique local programming every week, including, of course, the new WHFR Journal. Okay. Any other law here? No, but there's a whole bunch of them, and there's even more laws that probably should be done away with, but they just getting started there, as they say. Okay. Okay. Here's some more laws. We'll just finish this up, John. This is from Click on Detroit news guide from, when was this? Oh, my goodness. It was last week. But, okay. My point is that we're still looking about a resolution to, just a summary here, to Detroit's school situation. Governor Snyder's proposal to split Detroit's troubled state-run school district into two next summer and spend $70 million annually over a decade to pay off the bet while launching a new district is hitting opposition from all sides. Unfortunately, we don't know what's going to happen there, but we need an answer for the Detroit school system. By golly. Energy laws. I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago is that they've passed some energy laws, but there's no enforcement. That is to be cleaner and renewable more and, you know, saving our resources, saving our people from pollution. But if this is already passed, I know I read 2 weeks ago that the Sierra Club of Michigan was against the current bills because there's no enforcement powers at all. The one that's expiring this year that the state had passed 5 years ago did a great job, and everybody did get more efficient and less polluting, but there was enforcement guidelines. So, in other words, they could get a fine or they could get, I don't know, maybe people sent to jail. That doesn't happen much, does it? But for these reasons. But nonetheless, so we don't know about how that's going to change, if it's going to get better or worse. Data center. Apparently, this has been passed in the last day or so, but they did a massive tax. What do they call it? They removed taxes from a new massive data center to be built in the eastern U.S. near Grand Rapids, Michigan. Okay, so it's an incentive.
They got a tax break.
That's a tax break. Thank you. Okay. And, you know, there's a lot of Republicans that say we shouldn't have a tax incentive or a tax break for anybody.
No.
But when it comes to business, and this corporation, the clients of this data center, this big computers, okay, that's what it is, okay, serving all kinds of purposes of businesses, but they send their business to the data center who specialize in just keeping it all running. That's all they do. They don't ship parcels or anything. They just
A processing place.
Yeah. And they're supposedly very high security and all that blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the companies that might use this data center near Grand Rapids once it's completed would be eBay, Shutterfly, and Google. Huh. And how much would be spent? Over $5 billion to construct it over a several-year period. And they would employ 1,000 people. Regularly, that's not including the construction workers over these multi-year period. So that's a big deal. And of course, tax incentives are called tax breaks. Although Governor Snyder is a critic of select tax breaks, he says he's been mum about this project. Well, it's such a big investment of money and people in terms of jobs. It'd be hard for the governor to say no to that. And then, you know, he may be saying no to a lot of little incentives. But if he doesn't say no to the big incentive, then I don't know.
He's probably weighing the balance.
The thing I would say, too, is a lot of these data centers, and it's hard to believe this, say, well, they used a lot of electricity. Yes, they do, but they pay electric bills, although at the corporate rate, which is less than what residential people pay, regular people. But still, they use a lot of water, clean water, and it's warmed up. After it goes, because they need the water to cool the systems. They don't spray the water on the computers. No, no, it's something else. It's just like water cooling nuclear plants.
Cooling towers, in other words.
Cooling towers, yeah. Well, but it's they have to take in a lot of lake water on those nuclear plants. So in this case, they're still going to use a ton of water as well as electricity that might, you know, hope it doesn't, you know, mandate that we build another nuclear plant just for the sake of the keep the data center going. You know, so we'll see how that goes. Go watch that, the new data center. I believe the bills have been passed. In fact, they were passed 2 days ago. So we'll see what Snyder does there. And let's see, some other bills. Oh, straight ticket voting option.
Okay.
There's bills that have already been passed to eliminate it. that you could not just flip a switch for a party and all the way down to the littlest partisan ballot, the people of that party would get your vote. Now, that's a time saver. Local city clerks, there's just been a story out today throughout Michigan, are totally against that because it'll make everybody's time in the booth, well, most people, I think it's going to discourage voting because people say, I don't want to have to check or check off all the way down this two- or three-page thing and have to search for the Democrat or search for the Republican or the Libertarian. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to vote on, like, the president and get out of here.
Straight ticket.
So that means fewer people vote on these issues. Of course, a lot of people don't know who's running lower down anyway, so maybe they shouldn't vote if they don't know who the heck they are. I mean, it's an interesting question there, but that's a Republican-sponsored idea, is that they are against straight-ticket voting. And I think I know what the reason is. It's only one thing, but, you know, the majority of people in Michigan, John, lean towards voting Democratic, even though officially there are a lot of independents.
Yep.
Okay, you knew that. Yep. But we usually get a Republican governor who is a little bit of a middle-of-the-roader, you know, like our past Republican governors, starting with John Milliken. What was his first name? Milliken.
Dennis?
No.
No?
Martin Milliken? How soon we forget. Anyway, Governor Milliken and Engler, I don't know, he was more a right-winger, but I'm missing another Republican governor in there somewhere.
John Engler.
Oh, well. Keep those cards and letters coming
Romney?
In.
So, Romney?
Well, Romney was very definitely a middle-of-the-road a Republican, so much so that he never would be supported. This is George Romney, father of Mitt Romney, mm-hmm. Who would never be find any place in the Republican Party today, not in Michigan or nationally, just because he was so liberal as Republican. And of course, Mitt Romney was pretty liberal as Republican more recent years in Massachusetts when he was governor of Massachusetts. But anyway, so a lot of little bills coming through there, some good, some bad. Would you vote if you were in legislature to hold back third graders not proficient in reading? Force them to take the year over? Graders?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe, that's maybe a bill that might go through. And we'll need a lot more elementary school teachers and more classrooms if that passes. Would you nix, that is, eliminate paid union leave for public workers? Would you tax medical marijuana? Would you give the parole board less leeway to keep certain prisoners locked up past their minimum sentence? Would you regulate ride-hailing services such as Uber? And would you call for a U.S. Constitutional Convention to pass a federal balanced budget amendment? Well, if any of these things happen, we'll talk to George Durrani. Either next, both John and I have been bugging his office. Well, we didn't plant listening devices, but we've been calling and writing, and they're very busy up there in Lansing, I guess. Well, maybe today everybody's on vacation. I don't know, but they'll be back in session next week, and we'll hope to have George Durrani here in person to give us the update on what happened and why, and maybe what might come up next spring, even on this show, and we'll let you know as soon as we know, either next Friday or the 18th. We won't be on the air on the 25th because we have that special winter season celebration programming on that day. Okay. Whew. All right, John. Something?
Always do.
Okay. Hit me with something.
All right.
I'm tired of talking here.
That's fine. This weekend is the last weekend for A Christmas Story that's happening here at Henry Ford mm-hmm. College, directed by Judy Fletcher. Shows at December 4th and 5th, tonight and tomorrow at 7 p.m., and Sunday the 6th at 2 p.m. Children under $10, everyone else $15. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy tickets online, it's http://theater.hfcc.edu. Come all to the show. Should be great.
A brief mention, because it is finalized now and it's starting next semester, Henry Ford College will be offering its first bachelor's degree program, and it is in culinary arts. And it'll be a Bachelor of Science degree in culinary arts when you complete it. So we've got We've got everything in place now. Of course, approval was given about a year or so ago by the state Michigan legislature, but it's actually going to begin, and people are signing up already to start that career because there are jobs out there. As long as people have some money to eat out, there's jobs out there, thank goodness. So, okay, that's a brief one. Okay, Goodfellas, we did that. They got a grant so that we have energy-efficient lighting now at the Dearborn Administrative Center, also known as the new City Hall. And that came from, we want to thank these people, Adopt-A-Watt. Adopt-A-Watt is a program that's done several things in the community here, energy-efficient lighting and some other projects. And around this whole area, what they do is the nonprofit group just has to let them know about their need, and they'll go out and contact businesses directly asking for donations, either of equipment or facilities or money or whatever. And then they all get plugged at a press conference. They all get their name, their symbol, or whatever. And there's a picture in the paper from last week showing that that ceremony of turning on the lights. So, and it's actually the third energy saving project that they did. My special commendation to Brad Wither, who is the head of Adopt-A-Watt, and just, you know, he retired from like GM or some other big company 10-15 years ago and said, what can I do to make a difference? And so his company actually, he brings in enough money to pay for his services, you know, that the money donated, some of it has to go to the operational funds for Adopt-A-Watt, but they don't, you know, they give all of the donations to of course to the cities that need it and so on. And we've made use of their fundraising organization for several times now, and it's really great. So keep up the good work, Brad Wither, and Adopt-A-Watt, which may not be a nonprofit organization itself, but I think it should be. I mean, they're doing good things,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're making good things happen at least. Okay, John, back to you.
Yeah, I want to put a quick plug in for our Joe's Top Dog. Coney Island Place tonight is featuring the Rich Michaels Trio, which they have every Friday night, but they also have a soloist, jazz singer Mary Slavin. She'll be there, and they'll be there from 7 to 9, and no cover charge.
Right.
Come and sit and enjoy some great music, and they're going to be part of our celebration next Wednesday with the
there's a donation from Joe's Top Dog for our WHFR in-house celebration,
Right.
We only have enough hot dogs for us. But
it's a meeting and then a little party we're going to have with the staff.
Yeah, we do it every year, just a little something.
Very nice thing. And
it's basically it's a bring your own food. You know, it's, what is it, potluck?
Potluck,
thing.
Yeah.
But Joe's Top Dog is going to
we're going to bring some dogs and a little bit of Coney's.
Yeah, thank you very much down there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Pat,
I believe it's Pat Milliken, wasn't his name Pat? I thought maybe
Pat not. Milliken. That sounds no. That's the car dealership on Telegraph.
Okay.
You drive up and down Telegraph. He's a Ford dealer.
Bruce Milliken. How about that?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm searching for straws here.
Okay, Governor Milliken. What a nice guy. And we can't even remember his first name here. Okay. Well, don't worry about it. Well, all apologies. Okay. We'll look that one up for next week.
All right.
Here's another law. Did you know that a new state law now allows doctors to offer concierge services? Does that mean they carry your luggage when you're checking into a hospital for you?
No, I don't think
no,
that's
no,
true.
No. It means that you could call your doctor on Skype even after hours, and that's going to be legal, and he can charge you. Did you know that? Yeah, additional fee for that, but it gives you the convenience of reaching out to the doctor outside of the traditional methods. Of course, Skype is where you can download a program, usually a slight fee, depending if you want your own phone number or not. And Skype is a Microsoft company. I used to refer to them as the evil empire, but because they were a big-time, terrible monopoly in the early days. But, you know, forcing standards on computer users and for computer equipment without only at their own profit advantage, you know. So that's kind of nasty, I thought. But anyway, Skype is one of the companies that you can use for this. It's not the only one, by the way. And so if you have a computer that has a microphone and a camera, a video camera built in, or if you buy an accessory for that, then you could call and set up this this system. Oh, you don't need the camera, by the way. The concierge services could just be calling or emailing or texting at any time. But you have to. Patients have to pay a monthly or annual fee for that extra service. Oh, you can still go in the office, too, for an extra fee.
Okay.
Yeah. So that program became legal in Michigan, not recently, by the way, but last December.
Well,
yeah. I had heard about it. My local doctor, I've been texting him back and forth. His office has been sending me emails, and they haven't asked for more money yet. But I'm wondering how much that might cost. Okay, well, that's happening. That was a law we missed, but I'm not sure if that's good or bad. If the doctor can't really see you and feel your pulse, I'm not so sure that's a beneficial thing. I've got a lot of activities here, too, John.
Yeah.
Trinity House, a wonderful nonprofit venue out there in, where is it, Redford? No, it's in Livonia, West 6
yep.
Mile in Livonia.
Yep.
Our friends out there are featuring the folk and Celtic music artist Kitty Donahoe. It looks like Donahoe, like it's spelled that way, tonight. And that's 8 p.m. And tomorrow is a bluegrass Americana band called Thunderwood. And next Friday, I'll mention acoustic blues. It's going to be Danny Croha, who was at our benefit, of course, in early November. And just fantastic early traditional acoustic blues. And he's also known for indie rock and things, too. But what a great solo artist.
He did a great show, that's for sure.
And long set. He's got the whole evening. That's on the 11th. And just mentioned, since we're heading on to the Highway 61 Blues show at 2 o'clock today, Harper and the Midwest Kind, a fantastic blues band, local Michigan artist. Harper actually immigrated here. He wasn't a refugee, but he immigrated here in the early 90s from Australia, where they didn't have too many blues audiences. But he's fantastic. Sometimes he plays the traditional didgeridoo during blues music. But he writes stuff, and it's just fantastic. What a fantastic show. I think he's been out at the Trinity House before, and he travels all over the United States every year. And so this is one of the few times he's back in the Detroit area. That's Trinity House. We mentioned it's tonight and tomorrow night with folk and bluegrass people in that order. And then next Friday and Saturday, acoustic blues and then blues world music with Danny Croha and then with Harper and the Midwest Kind. So again, Trinity House, Livonia, look them up. All shows begin at 8 o'clock.
Very nice. Yep.
Okay. Global Fridays in the area here tonight is their last performance of the year. It's a band called the Anna Masri Band. They're playing Egyptian music. Yes, Egyptian music. Doesn't say what genres, but that's a genre into itself, I guess. That's tonight, December 4th. There's a free artist talk by the Anna Masri Band at this printout is fuzzy, or is it my eyes? It says, I think says 6 p.m., but the performance is also not on the sheet. So check, give them a call at the Arab American National Museum. It's their 10th anniversary this year, by the way, folks. Tickets are $15 general admission. Oh, all concerts begin at 8, and all artist talks are free. So tickets available at the door. And it's a great facility in the community with great world music, usually about once a month. We don't have a schedule for 2016 yet. Okay.
Well, going along with that Arab American National Museum, we have a they're going to start a new display for Danny Thomas, an enduring legacy, Danny Thomas and ALSAC / St. Jude, in the museum's main floor gallery that begins today, December 4th, through May 8th. It's free with museum admission. As lots of folks know, Danny Thomas is a huge supporter of children's diseases with St. Jude's.
A huge supporter of fighting those
diseases, yes.
It's the old problem. Hey, you're with the Cancer Society, so you must love that cancer, don't you?
Well.
In England, again, I keep pointing out, they're the ones that started talking English first, so they should know something about the language.
Right.
And all of their charities that talk about fighting a disease, they're the anti-whatever society. So it's the anti-cancer society, which would make sense, right?
Yep.
You got your membership card. You're anti-cancer. Great.
That's right.
It's kind of illogical because everybody accepts it here. They know in America that Cancer Society members or donators are not in favor of cancer, for Pete's sake. How silly. But the language is the silly part. And if you're not using it properly, maybe you're causing trouble.
Another quick shameless plug for Club Charlie's at the Holiday Inn in Southgate. Again, no cover charge. But there's a group this weekend, December 4th and 5th, called Double Crossed Band. They are a Motown-style band with an excellent female singer. And they're there from 9:30 till pretty much 2 in the morning, Friday and Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Very good show. Come on. I've seen them before. They're terrific.
Yeah, that's Holiday Inn in Southgate. It's called Club Charlie's. And we mention it just because there's no cover and because they help support a lot of local artists. They have music performances there. Something different every day, but definitely on Fridays and Saturdays, it looks like they have live music.
And they're also promoting lots of our events because I put the flyers on the table.
Jack in front of them directly. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But we're not doing it as a trade-off, and,
no, no,
and we know
no.
they are a commercial enterprise. So,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Program note, actually two program notes in one. This Saturday at 10 a.m., there is something that's kind of special. It's a free program called A Time to Remember. It's a grief counseling gathering at Howe Peterson Funeral Home in Dearborn, Park Street in Dearborn. And it's going to be this Saturday, tomorrow, at December 5th at 10 a.m. And it's going to be actually... the Howe Funeral Home is on Michigan Avenue, but this event is going to be at Park Place Catering. And, of course, that's on Park Street, in West Dearborn. And if you want to know more about that, it's the phone number is 561-1500, which is probably Howe Peterson. This Saturday later in the afternoon from 12 to 2, our program director, Lynn Grunst, has the No Boys Allowed music show, and she is going to be talking to someone, I think, on that show that had something to do with this event. And all of our Impact show, and Impact show is during our Tuesday forums. Every Tuesday, we have different locally produced talk shows. And this coming Tuesday, Lynn will be hosting a pre-recorded show all about grief counseling and how it is available for people for free in many facilities and times. But this special event tomorrow is a holiday memorial program, too, and they discuss grief counseling and other things. It is free and open to anyone that has had the loss of a loved one at any time, not just recently, that you're finding it's difficult to deal with. Or to handle. I mean, you don't want to lose their memory, but you know, you've got to move forward, as they say, and get things done for yourself. And so, anyway, a nice idea, and again, sponsored for free by Howe Peterson.
I just say it's especially valuable holiday season when people's emotions are really kind of a tinderbox. So it's a good time to have to get a chance to sit and listen and
well, offer perhaps even home. Before you have family gatherings around the specific holidays, because then you'll know what to talk about or how to talk about things or how to give some advice or assistance to someone in your family that's still grieving.
Very much important.
Yeah. Okay. Just a couple stories, 6 or 7 minutes before Highway 61 gets started today. The Best in the Blues for 4 solid hours. Oh, my goodness. And DJ Kitty Love will be here sitting in for Joanne today. And we're just going to try to sneak in a few more stories here. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the last weekend for the White Christmas show. The Players Guild of Dearborn, 21730 Madison. Mm-hmm. Show times are December 4th and 5th, and December 6th at 2:30, 8 p.m., December 4th and 5th. Tickets are $20 with a $2 discount for students with valid ID. And this is, it's directed by Brian Townsend of Dearborn. The White Christmas Story. Come on, okay. come on all to that. And then I want to do a quick plug for our own Michelle Featherston next door. Her husband is...
He says next door. What that means is she's in the student activities office as their main secretary there.
She is our student activities person. And she is, her husband actually is going to host the East River Folk Society get together next Saturday night on the 12th at 7 p.m. Hmm. And his moniker is Battered Hat. So everyone should come, and who wants to perform at the East River Folk Society. Speaking in Wyandotte.
Okay, speaking of performance, a story from a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to mention, of course, last week. Sorry. Hello. I hear you knocking.
Sorry.
But you can't come in.
Yeah.
Out in Crestwood High School, there's a wonderful, this is not the kind of story it should be on the front page, but it's a real sweet story. It seems that Crestwood High School in Dearborn Heights, who has got some statewide and national recognition of having, really good program for their students, it seems they don't have any music program. Unbelievable. Yeah. High school doesn't have a music program. I've heard of high schools don't have art programs.
Right.
Almost no high school doesn't have a sports program. Oh, yeah, you got to have sports. Yeah. But they don't have a music program. But Kayla Kolbus, who's a teacher of English there and also teaches introduction to theater classes at Crestwood High School, and who also runs the drama club, she had an idea to start an additional club, and it's an a cappella singing choir. And John, can you tell us what a cappella is?
A cappella means no accompaniment. They tune themselves, and hopefully they'll find a person with good pitch.
Instruments, it means somebody has got to do the beat, the bass beat, first of all.
The rhythm as well.
So they often have a bunch of guys who usually have deeper voices going bump, 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 or something in the background.
They count off. They do a count off.
Right. And so you actually have to be very clever with arrangements so that you have not only the rhythm continuing, somebody's got to sing the rhythm, but also certain kinds of instrumentation flourishes you would normally expect, whatever that is. Well, this is how it came about, because Kolbus, the advisor of the drama club, said, we don't have a choir program here or any kind of music program here, but she brought the idea of an a cappella group, choir, to her students. And Vanessa Elzine, that's E-L-Z-E-I-N, who's a 16-year-old at the school, said that she loved the idea and she'd love to help out. And she's the one that figured out the music and harmonies that the group would be using for all this different music that they're choosing to perform, and has therefore earned the title of assistant music director at the school, after Kolbus, I assume. And it's the first time a student has ever held that title. Her advisor said, without her, we wouldn't be able to play. Yeah, because you got to know how to do the music arranging, and we don't have a lot of background on Vanessa here, but great that you're moving up. She must know an instrument, sheet music. Somehow she must be conversant in music in order to make that happen.
I bet she was a piano player at one time.
Well, that's possible. If the story continues the next page, if I wasn't too lazy to turn the page, I just wanted to mention especially, though, that, a lot of people have donated their time here and joined a lot of high school students, some of which are being harshly criticized, especially guys, for joining that singing group. But to be a little sexist about it, looking at the picture of the group, there's a lot of really good-looking people in that group. I mean, if you wanted to make friends... that's one way to join a group like that. Yes.
Right.
After I got the frog out of my throat, never drink a beverage that has milk in it before you go on the air.
Good tip. Okay.
Yeah, that's
carbonation is
that's
bad.
That's my
too,
excuse. I usually avoid that. So if you want to contact a group about singing at an event, so I'm not sure that the a cappella group has a particular name. It doesn't give. Usually they name themselves something, but it's an a cappella choir, and they will sing at an event of yours, maybe for a small fee to help support the group. But you can contact Kayla Kolbus, at 313-278-7475. Again, Kayla Kolbus, K-O-L-B-U-S-Y-S-Z, at 313-278-7475. Or just ask for the gospel choir at director at Crestwood High School. But it's a good-looking group, and if we didn't have so many of our own groups here on campus, I'd say we ought to have them over here, put on a concert with them, because, I mean, look at this, John. It's not five or six people.
No, it's like 20.
It looks like 20 or so.
Yep. That's a good-sized group.
And thanks to, again, Vanessa for doing all the hard work, really, which I think is the arranging. I mean, the singing isn't easy. Isn't easy either. But, you know, WHFR here, we had an a cappella show. For many, many years. It was part of the big band hours on Friday. And we had a single volunteer and said, you know, I like big band, but I'd like to do our a cappella. So he found all the different kinds of music that was recorded that way, you know, without instrumentation, and played a lot of it. Now, the 1950s and the 60s were kind of big for a cappella and a cappella groups, apparently, big band era especially. But so he found gospel, he found all kinds of stuff, and it was a great show. But, of course, when he left, he took all of his music with him. So we don't have access to that very unique collection right now. Okay. But I'm just saying it's very, very impressive. It's not easy to do, but it's fascinating to watch and to listen to. And maybe they can come on campus, or we can do a WHFR concert with them sometime.
That'd be good. You know, I'm all for that. I sang in an a cappella group in high school. So
see, there you go. See, I knew you'd get in it somehow.
It's a great thing.
You could host it, John.
Yeah. I'll do it.
The a cappella event.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And it's a national thing, but as we're going off here, just to keep ideas flowing, you know, Michigan is going to have a primary. I think it's in February this year, a presidential primary. Who would you vote for, Democrat or Republican? You know, other parties are not invited to that primary. So shame on the Democrats and Republicans in the legislature for not opening it to all parties. But it's only Democrats and Republicans. I just want to tell you, next November, remember, there's going to be all kinds of candidates for president on down on the ballot. And we're going to try here on this show, as we always do, to give you a focus on everybody that you haven't heard of before, but maybe should be in office. Now, somebody that is getting a lot of attention is Bernie Sanders right now on the Democratic side. And the most recent poll from this Wednesday, national poll, shows that Sanders is more electable than Clinton against all the GOP front runners. So if the election was held today, and people said they don't know who, some people said, well, I don't know who Bernie Sanders is in. Well, in this representative poll, okay, it's not of everybody, but it's supposedly representative sample, scientifically chosen. Bernie Sanders from Vermont, independent senator, is more electable than even former Secretary of State Clinton, which means he's leading Ted Cruz of Texas by 10 points, Donald Trump by 8 points, and Ben Carson by 6 points. And Clinton, well, she'd beat Cruz also by 5 points and Trump by 6 points. But Bernie is actually doing better in this national poll. Kind of interesting and amazing. And if you don't know about all the candidates that are running, Democrat and Republican, you need to, because you're going to start having a chance to actually vote here in Michigan in next February. Well, we got to go, folks. Podcast is turn off, and we got to turn off John and Jay now, too. Okay. So until next week, John, anything last minute, anything you want to sneak in there?
Yes.
Okay.